Hey guys.
Howdy.
It's good to see you guys. As you guys can tell, this is going to be our first attempt here at a video podcast. So we've been on the internet. We've been on YouTube for a couple years now, putting messages up since COVID. So what has that been, 4 years?
I guess so.
Yeah, we've been putting scripture messages on YouTube. Most of the time we upload our actual services that we do. But we thought we'd try doing a video podcast today and see how she goes.
Yes.
So far, it's been weird trying to set up a camera, get the right angles. It's definitely something on my wheelhouse, but
that's for sure. So
anyway, it's good to see you guys again today. It's good to be back in here. Right now, just so you guys know, this is obviously going to be on YouTube, but you guys can find this podcast, Water from the Rock Podcast, on Spotify. You can find it on Podbean, and right now we're trying to get into Apple iTunes.
Amen.
So yeah, it's been, you would not believe how difficult it is getting into Apple Podcasts.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I know that times past you talked about trying to do that. I've just been pulling teeth, so that's for sure.
Yeah, and then of course our app, you know, for our church, that's been in development for about a year now where they said it was good to go. I got in Google Play to try to get it set up. It took me 4.5 hours yesterday just to get the permission to upload it to Google Play.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a bear. I could not believe how difficult it is.
Is it on Google Play now? Or?
Not quite yet. I'm waiting for the app developers through Subsplash to get it uploaded, but it's all set up, ready to go. All I have to do is just submit it. And it turns out I had one box unchecked on Apple. So as soon as they get that done, hopefully we'll be able to have it up here in the next week or two. When we do get there, you'll be able to get access to our church calendar. You'll be able to get access to all of our information, such as our audio and our videos. It'll all be linked together on the app. I'll definitely be plugging it here soon. As soon as it is live, I'll be plugging that on the Google Play Store as well as Apple. So, yeah, it's been a journey. It's been good, though.
It has been.
I was explaining this to my cousin, actually another guy the other day. But everything as far as podcasts and all the digital stuff, it's all been learning by failing forward.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty much what it is too.
Yeah, see this flannel? This is more of who I am. It's not just a fashion statement. This is my closet. So,
redneck is as they come, right?
Yeah, so. Well, sort of. We actually come from Barons, but whatever.
That's right. Royalty.
So. Yeah, we found out this week, thanks to the Mormons, we're descended from Barons. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And so some of them signed the Magna Carta, actually. So
exactly. Yeah. And then involved in the Revolutionary War and. Pretty cool.
Lots of over 300 years of Baptist preachers in our family on my dad's side.
That was the most exciting thing to me was 300 years of people keeping the faith.
Yeah. My mom's side were all pretty much all Methodist preachers for as far back as we've traced it so far. And
Methodist or just Baptist without potlucks?
One guy said Methodist or Baptist who could read.
I would disagree with that.
Anyway. But yeah, that's kind of the way it is. So,
say new D.L. Moody was a Baptist, he couldn't read the Bible. He couldn't pronounce any of the words.
Yeah, he'd have been a Methodist if he couldn't have, so right. But
anyway, let's go ahead and get into the podcast. I usually like to chop it up a little bit before, but let's go and jump in here. So last week we were talking about Joshua chapter number 1.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, I think, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6.
Correct.
We talked about be not afraid, be thou strong and of a good courage. We really focused a lot on be not afraid, what that really means, the promises God gives them. But you and me were actually talking a little bit earlier, trying to figure out what we're going to talk about on the podcast today. But you and me were talking, and an interesting thought came to my mind. What does it mean to be courageous? Is that, you know, obviously it's a command, but what does it mean to be courageous? You know, was Moses courageous? He was meek, but he was courageous in the idea of God. I mean, would you mind explaining a little bit to me of what we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, you know, in all the years of ministry and, you know, and that kind of thing, I've been around preachers and stuff, and you'd always hear the definition of courage is always that of, you know, it's not the absence of fear. It's just going forward in the face of facing your fears. It's choosing to press forward. And not that that's not necessarily the wrong definition. I don't think that would be the right thing. I think it very much kind of sums up what we're going to say a little bit, actually. But when Moses and Joshua were kind of like the first and second, Joshua kind of a second man, you had Moses, who demonstrated a lot of qualities that Joshua had to really exhibit in his life. But at the same time, though, there's probably a part of Joshua that was probably a bit timid, maybe a bit introverted, maybe, or maybe just, I don't know. And I know some people say, well, he was, you know, leader of the captain of the army and all those things. I know, I get that. But why did God have to tell him so many times in just chapter number one alone, be strong and of good courage or some form of that?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that Joshua, of course, again, he rehearses the ears of his people. And some people might say, well, it's because they knew that Joshua was going to be going up against such big battles. But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I mean, what he battles for there in the Promised Land is pretty amazing. But at the same time, though, dealing with Korah and dealing with, I mean, Korah was their relation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's was it Moses' cousin or whatever, or second cousin or something like that. And that's relation to these people, you know.
Not to mention, was he one of the people that Moses was trusting to be a leader, and he tried to usurp more authority?
Yeah, he was
or?
Actually serving, yeah. And, you know, so, I mean, that I think I would have a bigger problem dealing with people within the church than I am without people without the church. I mean,
yeah.
Granted, it might be a bigger battle with them, but personally, it'd be a bigger struggle for me.
It'd be a greater wound.
Yeah, to me, it's harder to deal with things within my own, you know, family or marriage than it is within the church, and things it's easier to deal with things within the church than, you know, without the world. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I mean, I think the closer it gets into you, I think the harder. But maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But I know when the Lord comes to Moses, he says, Moses, or comes to Joshua, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, and I think I might have said it last week. I know I said it in church. I know that, but. You know, did he give Moses or Joshua time to grieve then? I mean, was it like hours later that he continued the conversation? Or was it just all in one fluid motion? Or did he pause and then Joshua accepts it and then they move on? And or, you know, I mean, because Joshua was used to Moses probably going out and being with the Lord, but now he's been gone 30 days and, you know, where'd he go? So I don't know whether, you know, maybe it was something that would have taken him a while to get over, or it might have been something that was fairly quick, like you and I were talked about, and I think we might have talked about in the podcast last week. I can't remember.
We did. We brushed up on it. Yeah,
and the fact that that maybe he was, you know, probably ready to just, let's go forward now. We've been waiting 40 years, you know, and so he's an old man now, and he's ready to go forward, and I get that. And so it's something possible, but... thing of it is I know people say, well, God tells him this because maybe he's, you know, timid and shy, and maybe he is a little bit, and some might say, well, he tells him this because he's going to have such harsh battles, and I would agree with that in an extent, but I think really what he says, be strong and good courage. The word strong, it literally means this. It means to fortify yourself mentally. It means to add to yourself things that make you mentally stronger, like fortifying. So, like if you're an army base and you want to fortify the army base, you bring in tanks, you bring in more men, you bring in more equipment, things that will protect you.
Yeah.
You know, you might have airplanes there, you might have helicopters there, you might have, you know, whatever it may be. So you bring in as many things as you can to protect you, and then the more you have, the more fortified you are. You know, like for example, they used to always say about Fort Knox there with all the gold and stuff, and you know, how thick the walls would be and all these different things that, you know, so you couldn't access it. And maybe that's true or not. I don't know. I just know as a kid, you know, people saying that stuff. And so, what the statement they're making is it's being fortified.
It's strong, yeah.
Yeah. And God's saying you have to do that to yourself mentally to be able to obtain the promises of God, to be able to go and take the promised land that God's called you and I to come and take. You know, all here on this earth, we have promised lands that God wants us to take, and most of those promised lands are within our own spiritual life, our own emotional and mental life. It's within your own soul, right? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, how you think, how you feel, and how you act. That's your soul. And so within our own soul, you have a promised land I think God wants you to take. At the same time, though, there might be things in life God wants you to do, and that might be, you know, the promised land, like, for example, maybe full-time in the ministry or, you know, becoming a pastor or, you know, becoming a husband or a wife or, you know, having a family or becoming a better mama or something like that. So those are promised lands that God wants you to take. To do that, you have to fortify yourself mentally. And so he tells him, he says, listen, he says, in verse 5, we talked about this last week quite a bit. He says, there's not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He says, I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And of course, we talked about that when we said fail. We said it literally means to kind of like, you know, be feeble towards, to weaken towards, to, you know, be idle towards. So God says, I'm not going to be idle towards you. I'm not going to be weak in your request. And then he says, I'll not forsake thee. What he means is He goes, I won't, basically, I won't let go of you. I won't, you know, loosen you. The word literally means to, like, loosen.
Cast off, maybe?
Yeah, not so much cast off, but just loosen you. I won't ever let you go. And at the same time, it also means I won't deny you. You know, where I'm always going to, whatever it is, you come to me, here's my promise that nobody can stand against you. And I mean stand against you means to stop you, you know, and keep you from going forward. That doesn't mean they won't try, because you'll have them.
Yeah.
And
so real quick here, you said that it means that, it says that you means that when he says he doesn't forsake you, it means he's not going to cast you off. He's not going to set you aside. He's not going to just leave you or loosen his hold toward you. He's going to stand strong and hold you tight.
Yeah.
Whenever people feel like God has done that to them, is that just a lack of mental toughness, a lack of mental strength, or do you think it's
yeah, I think a lot of it is. I think it's, again, this is where the Bible says, if the gospel be his, it's hidden, you know, by whom the God of this world has blinded their minds.
Mm.
Satan comes along, and he, you know, like the Bible says, to let our light so shine before men,
yeah,
see our good works and glorify our Father. You're the light of the world. That implies there's darkness, okay, within the spiritual realm. There's this darkness. So Satan comes along. He blinds the minds of men and women, okay? And how he does that is through his lies, through his deception, he gets them to believe something that keeps them dark. They can't see God. They can't see, you know, how they can't. And they'll always tell you, too. They'll say, I just don't know what to do, or I can't figure it out. What they're saying is this, is the God of this world is blind in their mind in this area, okay? And so whenever a lot of times people say, I feel cast off and forsaken, the Bible says if you're sealed, if you're saved, you're in Christ. Now, what that means is like a mom would carry a baby in a womb, Christ carries you inside of him so that when you cry out to God, it's the voice of you crying out, but it's Jesus that God sees. Much like whenever Jacob comes in to take the blessing of Esau, and he feels him. He says, the body is Esau, but the voice is Jacob.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think about that a lot, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And anyway, so, you know, God looks at us and he goes, the body's Jesus, but the voice is Timmy Robbins or Tyler Robbins or, you know, Billy Bob or
you.
Whoever. Yeah, yeah. And so that, you know, so you have that, and then, so when the enemy is blinded their minds, he's convinced them of something that's maybe only partially true or not true at all, but they can't rationally disprove because they're in darkness, okay? So God says that because of that, he goes going forward and going to the promised land, in order for Joshua to be able to be successful in the future, whether he's timid, shy, or nervous, and maybe he is, and I kind of lean the idea he might be a little bit. And again, I think that's, somebody says, I don't believe that. I ain't going to split hairs with people, and I'll agree with you, okay? But my own kind of opinion, I could see him being like that. But at the same time, though, I think he's kind of guy that's just not going to back down from a fight, but I think he's not probably itching for one either, you know? But nevertheless, though, he tells him, he says, be strong and courage. He's saying, the Lord says, I want you to be mentally fortified. You add to your mental state, your mental status, to fortify it. Of course, we know that the Bible says that the key to that is the Word of God. The more you add God's ways and principles, the more your understanding of Him and how He works, and really fill that up with the kind of truth and practice, the stronger you'll be. And the Bible says to be hearers of the Word, or to be not only to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not just so that you get in the Bible and read it, it's so that you practice it. So he's saying be mentally fortified. And then the word courage, it literally means to be obstinate or unmovable, okay? So what it's implying is to be stubborn in a good way. Right, so stubborn generally is, people are stubborn. The Bible says that that's sin. That's like rebellion. It's like witchcraft. It's just mm-hmm. really bad. Well, I was stubborn. My daddy was stubborn, and my granddaddy was stubborn, and we've been a long line of stubborn people. Well, that's foolish, you know, because it's not right. You know, just because my daddy, my granddaddy, my great-granddaddy were doing it doesn't make it right for me to do it, or it doesn't make it right. This is something I want to do. Well, I'm proud to be that way. I think it's not good to be that way. The Bible says that we're to be, you know, we're in the hands of God. We're to be like clay in the hands of the potter, and to the Lord. But when it comes to, it means to be unmovable and stubborn in a good way, meaning that I'm not going to quit. And so like, for example, like if somebody who gets married, they need to be full of courage to where they're not going to quit. So when the reason why the word courage is used there, it means that even though there's the temptation, even though there's the voices calling out to you, it's all going to fall apart, it ain't worth it, all those things, I'm going to keep pressing forward and keep being strong and keep being putting the effort in, and I'm going to keep trying no matter if I fail. You know, like Job said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. You know, Job is saying, hey, I'm going to keep saying these things. You tell me what I'm saying God doesn't like, and God's mad at me. But I believe God wants me to say it, and I'm going to keep saying it. If he slays me, he slays me, because then, you know, I deserved it. But I trust in him. I trust what I'm saying is right.
It kind of reminds me of whenever I used to be in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, me and Otre in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mm-hmm. whenever we did that, I just remember sometimes, you know, you'd be fighting a guy, you'd be sparring with a guy, and he would just be cleaning your clock, and it would hurt. And, I mean, you'd walk away, and you'd be trying to wipe the blood out of your nose and try not to cry and look like a sissy. But
Sounds like me fighting with my sister growing up.
So. Just, it reminds me, because, like, sometimes you'd grab a hold of, like, their collar or something, and you would just hold on to hold on. Mm-hmm. And all you're doing is, even whenever you felt beat up, even whenever you want to let go, you still just would not let go.
Right. That's an act of courage right there.
Well, sometimes those guys, yeah, that was an act of courage.
So when people say, oh, it's facing your fears, and kind of is in a sense, you know. And so you see that. But the way it's really. And so like somebody, like I was saying about marriage, like somebody that says, I'm going to stick to this thing, and I'm going to stick to my marriage no matter what. Even if this happens or that happens, when I said I do and I made that vow in the life, the Bible says you swear on your own hurt. I'm swearing to my own hurt. And even if it hurts me, I'm still going to hold on. And that's what God's telling Joshua to do. He's saying, listen, you're going to go in there in that promised land, and y'all are going to go take it, but there's going to come sometimes some events are going to raise up, and it's going to attack you. And if you're not mentally strong, it'll overwhelm your thought life, and you'll start thinking negative thoughts or fearful thoughts or whatever. But no matter what happens, you don't move. You stay forward. You keep going forward no matter how hard it is. You get out of bed and you go serve God no matter what, how scary things are. You know, you're up against those high-walled cities and those giants and you know, the Five King Federation when he first went in the middle. And, you know, the Joshua campaign was, you know, literally, you know, three parts. There was the middle, and then there was the south, and there was the northern. And the northern was even a bigger federation than the southern deal was. And that was a huge deal. And,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was. But again, you know, Jabin and that whole area there, they just conquer these and to come out of there unscathed like they did. But again, Joshua, and here's the thing is this is, and I know a lot of people say, well, you know, that had to have been hard. I think Joshua probably got to a place, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think Joshua probably got to a place like a lot of us do. Once you do it, and once you start to do it, and you see God's with you, there's a certain amount of confidence that comes, not confidence in God and confidence in self, but a certain amount of death to self that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, you just said confidence, death to self. Well, I'll explain it here. What happens is this, is you kind of come to the place where you're just so confident in God that if you lose, you lose, and you win, doesn't matter, because God's in charge and he knows what's best.
Sure.
And I don't think Joshua was like, oh, God's with me, I'm going to kick everybody's tail. And I don't think he was one of those, you know, kind of like you'd see in a movie where they make that dramatic line, oh, they're all coming against this king. Oh, no worry, our God will deliver us. I don't think he was that attitude at all. And I don't think, to be honest with you, a lot of them really were. I think he was more of that of, well, God's going to have to deliver us. If he don't, he don't. He does, he does. I died a long time ago to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you come to that place where you're so mentally strong, you can just relinquish all control and let God's be in charge, and you'll keep pressing forward and just say, you know what, God, you're in charge, and if I win, I win, and if I lose, I lose. You know, there's some things that I have to face or I have to do, and it's just terrifying or whatever if I say, all right, Lord, I'm just going to let you be in charge. And I find a certain amount of peace to it. I just find myself just dead to it. Like no matter what happens, it's not the end of the world, because if I have Christ, I still have everything. And as I was talking about, I think in church last night, or maybe it was you, I don't know. I speak so many times, I forget.
Last night you preached Morning Hour, and you were talking about the importance of prayer and how to structure your prayer life a little more effectively.
Right. Well, maybe I said it in church, or maybe I said it in Bible class, or maybe it says you or somebody. But the older I get, the more I realize that the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
You did say that last night.
Did I?
Yep. And because you're talking about the importance of praying from confidence.
Yeah. And, you know, when Elisha was saying that, he opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw all those angels, and he's like, and anybody said, told him, there be more with us than they that be with they, or mm-hmm. whatever. And I forget exactly how the verse goes, but the more I realize, the older I get, the more God is really for us, the more I realize how unbeatable we are and unstoppable we are, even though we might get stopped for a little bit, it's not permanent.
Yeah.
You know, and you have some people that can give you problems in your life, and they're going to be mean, and they're going to be wounding, but it's not going to be forever. Eventually, God's going to give grace, and you're going to overcome, and you're going to break free. And some things might happen in a couple hours, some things a couple of days, some things a couple of weeks, and some things a few years, you know. And the way that God's been working in, like, some of our family and stuff like that has been utterly amazing, but it's taken 20-plus years of sowing and praying and you know, again, being mentally strong, fortifying every day as best we can. And we were always obstinate. The Bible says to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know, and we'll reap of that. And so I think that's what he's kind of implying, telling them to be strong and courage. You know, basically don't be
afraid.
Don't be unmovable. Be unmovable in a good way. And, so be stubborn in a good way. And
Well, I know we're starting to get near the end of our time, but I do have two questions for you today. Number one, do you believe that mental toughness, that mental strength, standing in that, do you believe that's like a muscle that needs to be worked out?
Yes.
And it's something you get stronger as you go?
I think that's a good analogy.
Because you have to work it out.
Yeah.
And then number two, do you believe that that mental toughness, do you believe that is another word for faith? Are they the same thing, or are they kind of, you know, similar? Are they the same, similar, or two separate things?
Faith is an action verb, I guess, but, you know, I mean, as far as, yeah, I think mental toughness is something that you have to, it's just like, you know, muscles in your body or whatever, you have to put forth the effort to keep them strong. But again, it's not about putting yourself in mind bending situations, or, you know, well, I got to go to escape rooms and keep myself sharp, you know, and it's not that. It's about just always, the more, that he goes on to clarify it with him later on in verse number 8 and 9.
Well, let's wrap that up. Let's save that for next week, because I know we're getting near the end of time. So if we need to wrap up that question next week, we can, but I don't want to bite off more than we can chew. I want to make sure we have something for next week.
Yeah, so we'll get into that next week there. I want to talk about that in verse number 7, 8, and 9. So, and, anyway, but yeah, basically it's not about putting yourself in mental exercise as much as it's about meditation upon him and his word and his ways and stuff. So anyway, but, I think that, and as far as, it's the same thing as faith. I mean, I guess. I mean, faith is, a point of the heart. So I think that you can't just say that it's a mind thing, because you can't just believe from your mind. The Bible says when you believe from the heart, you know, that's when you're saved. So I think faith probably is more the action of the result of something like that, maybe, or the result of that kind of action, maybe, or something of that nature, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, the thing about it is when there's faith, your heart's in it. It's when you believe from the heart. You know, your emotions, you're tying them into it. So anyway, but yeah, we'll pick up on that all next week, I reckon. So.
Sounds good to me. All right. Well, anyway, thank you, Pastor, for your time.
Yep, absolutely.
And as
absolutely.
You guys can see, we have one boom. We need another one, so hopefully we'll get one this week.
Yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, but anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in today. It was a pleasure. I hope you guys enjoyed the video. It's something new for us, and I'm sure we're going to change it, do better with our background. I'll probably look a little more professional next week. It was just a work day around the church, and you caught me on my work clothes. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in today. Quick plug to everything. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Podbean. You can find us on YouTube. If you need help finding any of it, you can find us on our website, bytheblood.org. All of our contact information, all of like our snail mail, 703 Milwaukee Street, our phone number, 641-228-5362, our email, bytheblood.org, fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com. It's all on there. All you do is click a link, and you'll be right there. So visit us on our website, bytheblood.org. If you're seeing this on YouTube, as always, as you see everywhere else, like, comment, and subscribe, right? And if you want to leave us a 5-star rating wherever you're hearing us, whether that's Podbean, Spotify, or if we're on Apple by this point, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, that's going to help other people find us. Feel free to recommend us. We're trying to grow this thing back. At one point, we had 500 different people who were listening across 22 states, and we have people in Canada and Mexico. So we're trying to get back to that same crowd, and we're trying to grow even bigger. Please recommend us to your family or friends.
Yes.
Anybody think that this will help as we go down the road? We're going to talk more about Joshua chapter number 1. And personally, I don't know if we're going to go this route, but I personally would like to see where Joshua ends his life, how God used him, what his story arc is, because he's got a really cool story. I got a couple different things we got in the works that we're really looking forward to doing. Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and I'd like to add also to if y'all have any questions, just please contact us. And you know, I every so often I do an Ask the Preacher Night in church, and you just write down a question and give me a chance to look at it and be able to give an answer. I mean, I do them. People raise their hands and ask questions all the time in Bible and stuff like that. But just send in a question. We'll probably cover it in podcasts, or maybe once in a while we'll do a, if we get enough questions, we'll do an Ask the Preacher podcast or something like that.
Absolutely.
And we'll try, honestly and truly, unless we get bombarded with tens of thousands or something, we'll try to answer every question we possibly can. So
absolutely. And if not, we can definitely just shoot off emails too, even if we don't cover it in the podcast. But yeah, thank you, yeah. Pastor, for that. I usually try to plug that, but I'm a little slipping a little bit. My brain's sure. Everywhere. So
I hear you there.
Anyway, once again, thank you guys for tuning in today. I hope it's been a blessing. Thank you, Pastor, for your time. I know you're a busy man. Just remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.